Good evening. The time is now 5:06, and the Warwick Finance Committee is open. May I have a motion for acceptance of the minutes for the meeting held on January 3rd?
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. PCR 8-24. Item number one, bid 2024-306. Gasoline low sulfur diesel, ultra low sulfur diesel fuel. Good evening, Chief.
Good evening. Assistant Chief Umbenhauer from the Fire Department. Fire Department is recommending that the award for bid on gasoline, bid number 2024-036, be awarded to Pinnacle Petroleum out of Huntington Beach, California, for an amount not to exceed $300,000.
Thank you, Chief. Are there any questions from members of this committee? Are there any questions from members of the council? Are there any questions from members of the public? Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
The next item is bid 2024-332, Fricata Camera and Door Access Systems. Good evening, Major.
Good evening. Major Andy Sullivan for the Police Department. The Police Department is seeking a 56-6 exception to notice to purchase a new Fricata video monitoring and door access control system. Fricata is a sole source vendor, and their equipment would be installed by one of their authorized installers, Wally Computer Associates of Southwick, Massachusetts. The department's current camera and door access equipment is beyond its useful life. A properly working modern camera and door access system is essential for proper security and monitoring at police headquarters. The total cost of the system for a 10-year period, that includes install and service and the bumper-to-bumper coverage, if approved, would be $285,000. Correction, $285,911.14. And would be funded with pre-approved ARPA funds, budget code 510-0400.
Thank you, Major. Councilman Gebhardt.
Hey, Major. Thank you.
Good evening.
Couple questions here. So is the intent to bring in to add to the existing system or to essentially replace everything that we have in place today?
Sir, this would be a complete replacement of our current system.
Okay. So given that, why is Fricata the only vendor who could perform that?
Fricata has the features that our in-house people spec'd out and seek, and those are proprietary to Fricata. The Warwick school system currently uses that, and we know that they're very happy with it also.
Okay. Yeah, it seems like this is a pretty congested space, that there's sufficient vendors out there. For a purchase of this size, it would make sense to me to bid it, but maybe I'm not understanding the reasons why it would be limited just to this one vendor.
It's just that our people had done extensive research about what equipment we want, and Fricata was a system that we desired. They are a sole source themselves, and they outsource the install to the Wally Computer Associates.
Got it. So they've got sort of a hardware and software package that combined they're the sole source provider for?
Yes, and their camera and equipment is proprietary to their own stuff. It's what they created. You can't find it anywhere else exactly as built. And
okay.
That's why we chose to go with them.
All right, got it. Wondering, so we've got some cameras at other facilities in the across the city. Has there any thought been given to, you know, pulling it under the same umbrella or tying them together?
At this time, this is a one-off investment at the police station. It may have capabilities to integrate with other systems. That's something we can explore
Okay.
as we
after install.
Okay, got it. And then am I imagining that we included a use of ARPA funds to redesign an entrance at the police station?
I don't, that would, DPW may have the answer for that. But okay. I don't think they're represented here tonight. We did do the, if you're talking about the configuration of the possibility of doing some refurbishment at the station.
Yep.
That to prove to be cost prohibitive in the big picture, and that project has for now been abandoned.
Okay, got it. So there's no risk that we install a bunch of door handling hardware that needs to be replaced?
Not unless the finance committee wishes to purchase us a new police station tonight.
All right. Okay, cool. Thank you.
Appreciate Thank you.
Time.
Thank you, Councilman. Thank you, Major. Any other questions for members of this committee? Questions for members of the council? Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you. Hi, Major.
Good evening.
So just to kind of tag team with Councilman Gebhardt said, I, for a long time, have had concerns with the additional sole source vendors that we continue to kind of get controlled by. And it seems as though it's happening more and more where the vendors that we're being asked to approve are sole source vendors. And that's obviously a very controlling issue where we don't have any flexibility or wiggle room. There is no alternative, and we're kind of like stuck with it, like it or not. So it continues to be a concern with me. I understand some of this technology stuff, which you all know I don't even begin to profess to have a whole lot of knowledge in. But I do have a fair amount of knowledge in being controlled. Is there another product, particularly where it's not going to be affected or affect any of the other cameras, as Councilman Gebhardt just asked, throughout the city, is there another product or another vendor that could be used to accomplish the same goals that you're looking to accomplish without being controlled by a sole source vendor?
There are other vendors, but they don't deal in Verkada. So this company that does the install is exclusively subbed out by Verkada to do the installs. There are other systems out there of similar quality, but our people had specced out this system, and this is the one that they determined was the best course of action for our department.
Those other vendors that you allude to, would they also, in essence, be a sole source vendor with their product as well?
They very well may be. I know there's another big company called Insignion, I believe, that's starting to emerge in the market as far as a competitor for Verkada. And like Verkada, their equipment's all going to be sole source and proprietary also. That's a problem you run into. There's not just one set camera system out there that 10 different companies sell. So we can't, you know, it's kind of hard to get what we want or what we need.
So it seems as though with technology, this type of technology, it seems as though we are, like it or not, going to be continually moving into this sole source type of ventures, because it's a proprietary system that, you know, Ed develops and nobody else has, and I got the exclusive rights to it. Kind of like a pharmaceutical company, right? They come up with a drug that works and they get the patent on it, and they are sole source
vendor. It is the unfortunate reality. The old cameras, you know, in their infancy were just cameras, and they didn't do much other than observe and record and store the data. Now they have all these added on features and specifications, and they're proprietary to the company who developed them.
So we can, it makes it difficult to go out to bid and find, first of all, known quantities such as Verkada. They have an excellent track history. Walk Public Schools uses them. That's how, you know, we've had firsthand account from them that they like it and they use it and it works very well to their liking. So instead of taking a risk on some unknown vendor, that's why we settled with them and they have the equipment we are seeking.
And based upon your knowledge that you have regarding this vendor and their stability, financial stability, et cetera, and I'm sure the other members of your department that were involved with this, you're comfortable that this particular vendor who would become a sole source vendor for us with this technology, that they are financially strong, they're a sound company, they're a solid company. It's not going to be a situation where in a year from now, you've got a problem with something and we can't get parts because we don't have a supply or a whole host of other things that could come up. You're fairly comfortable that this is a solid company financially, stability-wise, and their ability to service us.
Yes, as far as we know, everything indicates they are.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Major. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. Any further questions from members of the council? Councilman Ricks.
I also just wanted to check and see if there may be any additional expenses beyond the contract price of the $285,911.14 over the 10 years, such as I saw in the white paper that there was a reference to the cost of IDs. I'm not sure if the cost of IDs is built into this contract award or if that would be an additional amount or if there were other additional items that may be beyond that 285 and change.
We don't anticipate any additional costs. ID cards, if you're referencing, if that's what I understand, the blank cards, we buy those on an as-needed basis. So those are not included in this, and they're fairly nominal price point.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any further questions from members of the council? Questions from members of the public? Thank you, Major.
Thank you.
Next will be item number 3, which is bid 2024-292, Warwick City Park Dog Park Improvement Project.
Good evening, Bill.
Good evening, Bill Facenti, Community Development. Here tonight to ask for approval of bid 2024-292, Warwick City Park Dog Park Improvements. The city received bids from 7 vendors expressing interest in doing the improvements. Prices range from a base bid of $82,340 to $238,256. City is asking the council award the contract for not to exceed price of $85,240. That includes the base bid of $82,340 and 2 alternatives that were included for debris removal, old trees that are in the area of the new dog park for $2,900. Contract is being requested to be awarded to Yardworks Inc. of Warwick. This is council opera funds, so none of it is city general funds, and it is coming from Ward 6, council opera.
Thank you so much, Bill. Are there any questions for members of this committee? Before I go with questions, Councilwoman Travis, would you like to make a statement on this?
Yes, this is my big project for my opera funds. This is something that the people were requesting. I got a lot of calls on this. And it's really very touchy to me because I'm the one who put the dog park in the beginning anyway, when we first put it in. And it was one of the nicest parks, but of course the maintenance wasn't taken care of. So this is a good way to bring it up to par. We're gonna bring, you know, a big thing was the handicap, making a handicap accessible too for the people. So that'll be easier. Pushing it into the woods and give them some shade. It wouldn't cost us more money to put up shelters. So I think this is going to be a great project. And I think It's in an area where City Park has been, you know, hasn't been taken care of much, basically because even with the CDBG money, they didn't qualify. You know, Button Woods wouldn't qualify. The other areas of City Ward 6 didn't qualify. Only Oakland Beach qualified for CBG money. But this is a project when no matter how many times I brought it up to the mayors, it always got pushed aside, pushed to the side. So that's a perfect way to use ARPA money to get something done that could have kept being pushed aside. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Are there any questions, comments from members of the council? Councilman Lattiser. Oh, I apologize. Councilman Lattiser.
I'll yield to Councilman.
Thank you, sir. Councilman Gebhardt.
Oh, thanks. I just had a quick question. Did any of these other vendors provide any reasoning around, were there expanded scopes in some of their bids? Or
no, like, it was a line item pricing. The same bid went to all the vendors. We had 10 of them at the mandatory pre-bid, 7 submitted bids. I don't understand the way people are bidding, but there was line item pricing. There was the lump sum for the entire project, which the councilwoman mentioned, moving the dog park further into woods for shade, ADA improvements, pathways, some benches. We're shifting the dog park away from the inline skating rink because the skaters like to shoot the pucks at the boards, and it bothers the dogs. So we're moving it a little bit away from that. It's going to be in the same footprint as the dog park. It's not getting any closer to the fields, but it's moving into the woods a little bit. I can't explain the price disparity. I was just as shocked as you are. Yardworks is a local company. It could be that they just wanted it because it's local.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. The reasonable side bids here seem to be the kind of usual suspects that bid
right.
and actually do a lot of our work. So, yeah. But for the others, certainly not a way to get your foot in the door.
No,
triple,
not
the,
at all.
Low bidder, but cool. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Lattiser, thank you so much. You're up.
Thank you. Thank you. Hi, Bill.
Hello.
So I think I just heard you say that 10 bid requests were sent out to vendors?
No, so there was a mandatory pre-bid.
Mm-hmm.
There were 27 vendors emailed the notification, plus advertising on the websites and all the other advertising the city does. 11 vendors came to the pre-bid, mm-hmm. mandatory pre-bid in the rain. 7 submitted bids. Of those 7 bids, they ranged from $82,340 down up to $238,256.
Okay.
So 7 of the 10. We've never had that many vendors at a pre-bid.
Yeah, no, it's great.
It's amazing. Even before COVID, we've never had that many vendors. And for 7 of them to actually submit bids is unusual as well. Usually we're 1 or 2.
How many did you say were emailed to vendors?
27.
27.
That's the list the city, my office provided to purchase.
Sure.
And then they email them out. They mm-hmm. put it on the website and do the normal advertising.
Well, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, that the city took the effort to reach out to 27 vendors. And the result was you had a strong showing, right? You had vendors bidding that probably wouldn't have bid before. Yeah. Okay. That's good to know. Thank you. That's all I got.
No problem.
Thank you, Councilman. Any further questions, comments from members of the council? Questions, comments on this bid from members of the public? Council President McAllister.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to take this while Bill is up here, and this is his last council meeting. Well, he's welcome to come back at any time, but he is set to retire at the end of this month. I believe he's one of the longest serving city employees in the city.
I don't know about
if not the longest. He started very young, yeah. So I just wanted to thank you for your service to our city. You know, I think you have a great job because you get to come here and offer, hey, I have some money, you know, what could we do with it and stuff like that. But I just want to thank you. That's a long service to the city of Warwick. You know it inside and out. You've taken on additional responsibilities like these ARPA projects. I know that kind of fell into your lap here. And, you know, 9 wards, 9 council people, 9 more than 9, you know, community groups reaching out to you about these projects and stuff like that. So I just wanted to thank you for your service here to our city. Congratulations on your retirement, and please come back anytime.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. I live in the city of Warwick, so I'm not going anywhere. Thank you.
Bill, I know the applause cut you off. Did you want to say, or are you all set? That's it. Well, good luck on your future endeavors, and thank you. We've come to the part of the bid package where we will now, I will ask the members of the committee, members of the council, members of the public, if there is any item that they would like to discuss. I will give everyone a minute just to review the remainder of the packet. And of course, I will start with the committee to see if there's any item they would like to discuss. Councilman Gebhardt requests bid 2024-311. That's item number 5, found on page 18, Parks and Recreation, purchase and installation of electronic equipment. Councilman Foley.
Item 4, 2024-338.
Found on page 14. That is Fire Warwick Fire Department Recruit Training Academy. Are there any items that members of the council would like to discuss? Councilman Lattisor.
Councilman Gebhardt stole my thunder, so I'll follow his lead.
We'll just change that to 5 then. We'll just go ahead and say that Councilman Lattisor got it. Thank you. Is there any other item that members of the council, are there any items on the bid package that members of the public? I apologize. Okay, so we'll go in order. The 2 items that were pulled, so we'll begin with Councilman Foley. That is bid 2024-338, Warwick Fire Department Recruit Training Academy. This is found on page 14. Good evening, Chief. Please introduce yourself, and then Councilman Foley, you have the floor.
Assistant Chief Umman Howard of the Fire Department.
Good evening, Chief.
Good evening.
Is this anticipation of having a class this year?
Correct. We're anticipating, we've identified 12.
Can you talk in a little bit? My hearing
sorry. This might not be my height. We have identified 12 recruits. Right now we're 12 short. We budgeted and have found 12 eligible recruits. They will start their training on February 19th, and they will finish just about the end of the fiscal, right after the start of the new fiscal year. So we should be even to our maximum number of personnel on July 1st.
So you've already advertised and gotten the applicants.
Yep, we did that process. It's a 2-year process. Usually when that list goes out, it's a 2-year list. So we're at the end of that 2-year list. So we'll be doing it again in the fall for the next 2 years.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions, comments from members of the council? Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Chairman. Hi, Chief.
Good evening.
I think you already answered this question with Councilman Foley, but I'm just going to ask it in a different form. Do you have a list of these 12 recruits that you are proposing to send for this training?
I do, yeah. We know who they are. We've already put them through orientation and through their pre-employment physicals and all that work.
Okay. And you're requesting this bid as a 1-year bid. Are you intending to send all 12 recruits at the same time?
We do. Yeah, it's more of a one-time bid, but we let it go through the year in case there's a straggler that has to go back, you know, or has to finish at a different time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes if a recruit gets injured in the course of it, we won't drop him because we've already invested highly in him. But if he can't complete it, then they will put him into the next academy that comes through. But it won't be any more cost, but the cost would be spread further down in the fiscal year.
And sending all 12 recruits at one time, that's not going to have any impact on mandatory manning or anything like that?
No, they won't be part of minimum manning until they finish the academy. This is part of our recruit training academy we've always done. We just, since 2021, we've just started using the Municipal Academy to do the bulk of the work because they have the certifications that they need to obtain.
Okay, thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions, comments from members of the council? Members of the public, questions, comments on bid 2024-338 Warwick Fire Department Recruit Training? Thank you. Next, we will be going on to bid 2024-311 Parks and Recreation Person Installation of Electronic Equipment for the Harbor Master Boats. This was requested by Councilman Gebhardt. This is found on page 18. Councilman Gebhardt.
Hello, Director.
Hi, Beverly Wiley, Parks and Recreation.
Well, thanks for you and the Harbor Master spending a little time with me today on this one. This is one I've got a lot of boaters in my area, so they were interested in this one. So maybe we could just hear from the Harbor Master on the equipment that we're getting and the function. I think specifically the high ticket items, the GPS and the camera.
The camera.
System, please.
Could you repeat that? I'm sorry, I didn't catch all.
Could
of
we
that.
Hear from the Harbor Master yes. about?
I have the Harbor Master here also to answer the questions because he's the expert. You. So
just about the I would say the high ticket items, the GPS and the camera system, and the necessity for those.
Sure. Before you make a statement, could you please just identify for the record?
Thank sure. you. Jeff Barris, Harbor Master.
Thank you, sir.
And what we're looking at here, we had requested bids for new electronics packages for the two boats that we're using. And this is to replace existing systems that we have that are 14 and 15 years old. Now, the bigger ticket items are, they consist of a GPS chart plotter, radar system, depth finder, and radio and VHF radio in a combined integrated system. So it's kind of an entry level unit, but it'll give us what we need to be efficient and be able to interact and have the same capabilities as the other organizations that we work with. We also we use these because we have regular patrols in season. We have boating safety patrols that can include nighttime, can include foggy conditions. And so our boats operate each boat will operate approximately 20 hours a week in the season. Now we roll into a slow start into May, and then we taper off after October. But essentially the boats will be in constant use. So what we have now on the boats is failing. The units are failing. They really aren't meant to last that long. And so these quotes, or this quote that we have here, includes the prices for the equipment and installation costs.
Thank you. What was the age of the equipment that we're replacing?
14 and 15 years. Okay. Respectively. Yeah.
Okay. Well, and then can you, the other big ticket item was the camera that you took me through today. Can you just explain the usage for the camera?
Yes. The FLIR thermal imaging camera. Now what that does, that enhances our nighttime operation, because if we're looking for an object that may be too small or too low on the water, a person, a kayak, a small boat. What this does, it gives a thermal signature, and it will show up something that the naked eye won't see and that radar may not pick up. And given my my aging night vision, I need all the edge I can get. But it's a it'll be a big help for us. It works both in low light and in high light conditions. If we were operating inside a crowded harbor with a lot of background lighting, that would blind us as well. So nothing really blinds the thermal imaging camera.
Well, thank you so much. I know the Harbor Masters worked very hard, and we thank you. Are very grateful for your efforts. I'll yield to my colleague who knows things about boats, and he can ask you, more specific questions.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Lattisar.
Thank you, Chairman. So this, my first question, I guess, would probably need to be answered by the purchasing director. And being that I only see two bidders here that bid, my question is, how many vendors received a request to bid on this item? Now, I'll bring you back to the question I asked just a few minutes ago with regard to the bid in Councilwoman Chavez's ward. And there were 27 emails sent out, or 27 vendors that were emailed a request to bid on that work that was being done. What I'm asking is, how many vendors were emailed or contacted and requested to bid on this item? I'd like to hear from the purchasing director, if we could, please. I think she's the one that sends out those requests.
Two. Yeah. There were two.
There were only two.
Only two. Those were certified Garmin dealers and technicians. Yes.
Where does it say in here that it had to be a certified Garmin dealer? As an example, in many other bids, a vendor doesn't have to be certified as a dealer to sell the product. They could choose to purchase the product from a third party and resell it. And as long as they're competitive, that should be the issue. But so the reason I asked this question is, I received a phone call today from, actually, he's a constituent in two wards. He's a constituent in my ward, residentially, and I believe in Councilman McElroy's ward. So this vendor happens to be the second largest marine dealer in the city of Warwick. And never received a request to bid on this. But yet, we have reasons to send out 27 requests for landscaping type of work. And it seems to me that this bid process, the way it's being conducted, is flawed. And I don't think it's fair. And that's one of my objections to this, because I think we're limiting the potential for saving taxpayer dollars. And I understand that this is COVID money. And COVID money, here's my opinion of COVID money. COVID money doesn't necessarily, as a matter of fact, it doesn't come directly out of the residents or taxpayers in the city of Warwick. But COVID money has got to be repaid. It is not free. And it's going to be repaid in your federal taxes. Somewhere along the line, the government's getting their money back. So it's great that we have COVID money to spend on these things, but it still isn't free. So that's one of my issues. And also, with all due respect to our harbor master, who I know and have a lot of respect for, and I've known Jeff for a very long time, long before I ever got on the city council, and I'm also a boater. So I'm relatively familiar with the capabilities and the needs and the I wish I had kind of items that are involved. My boat's a 20-year-old vessel. I've replaced just 2 years ago. It was for the third time I replaced the full set of electronics in my boat. So I get it. I get the need for doing this. I also believe that the Harbor Master's Department has been neglected over the years and has not received the attention that I think, this is my personal feelings, that they should have. We've been dealing with issues with boats, with motors, et cetera, et cetera. They spend more time on the water than any of the other departments put together. And I think that department has been neglected for a very, very long time on equipment, on staffing, et cetera, until very recently. And to Mayor Picozzi's credit, he has addressed the staffing issues very recently and obviously is looking to increase the equipment. However, I also feel that some of these items are overkill. I don't see the need for, as an example, a radio that has AIS capabilities. Unless we're running our boats, you know, out to Block Island somewheres or in the Providence River Channel where tugboats may be coming in or other larger vessels, I don't particularly see the need for AIS, which is, it's an identification process that will identify another vessel out there by calling names and whatever and tell them the size, et cetera. And I think that, as an example on that number nine, that radio that is being priced out at $700, you could use the VHF number 115, which I priced out today at $349. And it's going to do the same thing, but it's not going to have AIS. I have a concern with items 5, 6, and 7. So item 5 is a light bar for a closed dome radar with a FLIR camera mount. It doesn't specify the specific item. Now that could be a SeaView mount, it could be a Lamantor, I think it is, mount, it could be a custom made mount, but there's too much flexibility in that item, and it's not a cheap item. And I'm not even sure on a vessel that we're talking about, which is a 28-foot center console vessel that's going to have a radar dome about 8 feet off the water. I'm not even sure if an elevated dome or frame is necessary. Keep in mind, this particular radar unit that's spelled out has a 48-mile capability. There's no way that boat is ever going to be able to see out 48 miles because it's just not high enough off the water. So I think that's another item that is just a much more expensive item than what we need, in addition to that particular antenna. The modular plate, I think, is something that probably is not necessary given the height off the water. Items 11, 12, and 13, those also lead into too many variables as to what can be provided, because the set of LED navigational lights, it's broad, and I'm not looking to offend anybody. I'm just stating it as I see it. It's something that could be interpreted differently and different products provided. So given the fact that we have local vendors here in the city of Warwick that, for whatever reason, were not sent a request to bid on this, whether you think they would be interested in bidding or not isn't the point. The point is, I think we need to do a much better job at informing potential vendors that things are out there to bid. We can say, well, we post it on the newspaper and we got it on the city site and we do all of this stuff. I've talked to people who have no idea how to venture through the city site to do all this stuff, to play the hide and seek game. And I am one of them. And it makes it too convoluted for people to do the homework. You can, Director, you can shake your head all you want, but that's the way I feel about it. 11, 12, and 13, they're very vague and they're very, too many variables in these items. And also, Director, seeing as you're up there, have you or anyone else added up these items from Edgewood and Greenwich Cove? Has anyone done the math on those? Did you do the math on those?
Councilman, before we hit the 10 minutes, but I'm going to ask if one of the members of the committee would like to allocate us an amount of time to extend your comments and or questions.
Move to extend 5 minutes.
Second. We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor? Aye.
Thank you, Chairman. Councilman. Thank you, committee. So did you?
Okay, so to begin...
Before I'm sorry, I apologize. Please identify, and it would be through the chair. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Francis Gomez, Purchasing Director.
This is just a yes or no question. Did you or anyone in your department add the numbers up from the bids from Edgewood or Greenwich Cove?
Again, I'm going to start from the beginning. As you said yourself, the Harbor Master division has been long neglected. This is Jeff's first time coming to me as the purchasing agent director for bidding. And I asked him to provide vendor lists, not for only this bid, but for other bids. Why? Because usually the department is the expert in what they're bidding out. Okay?
Excuse
when it
me,
comes,
that's not what
I'm
I
not
said.
Done speaking.
Mr. Chairman, excuse me.
Councilman,
a point of order. I asked a question.
I'm getting
you
there.
Asked, you no asked a answer. Question, but you also did a 10-minute delivery of opinion, which I think the department has a right to defend themselves.
That's fine. They can
or
do
to
that.
Answer your questions from that.
I just asked
that.
For a simple yes
and she,
or no answer.
And
did
I,
they do the math. That's
and
it.
I'm
she
gonna,
can talk about
she,
all the other
I
stuff
think
she
made
wants.
It clear she'll answer it. I'd like to hear her reply, and she'll end it with an answer to that question. Thank you, Director.
Thank you. So where was I? Yes. So it was a long time neglected department for Harbor Master. Jeff came on board and was ready to work with me to put out these bids with the $120,000 ARPA funding approved by this council. And it's in our budget for FY fiscal year 24. So therefore, me and Jeff have been working together on that. The responsibility of every department when bidding out is to offer the purchasing division not only the specs for the bid of what they are looking for, because I wouldn't know anything about a boat, or maybe I would be an expert. Who knows? Anyways, besides that, they provide the vendor list. Some have 27 vendors. Some may only know two. And those are the vendors we email separately from advertising. We have heard over and over again how you say it's so difficult to go and maneuver this website, but it's also the responsibility of any business owner to go and seek these bids as well. And when it comes to adding up anything that comes up with pricing sheets, that is the responsibility of the director of that department, not mine. Thank you.
So with all that said, could I get an answer to my question, please?
I just answered it.
I'm sorry. Please.
I do not add up pricing sheets in purchasing. That is a responsibility of each and every director of every department for the city of Warwick that actually works for the city of Warwick.
Thank you.
So the bids are provided to you.
The bids are provided to me.
Correct.
The specs.
You,
the boilerplate is provided
okay,
by
I'm gonna,
purchasing.
If I could ask that. All the comments and questions go through the chair. So
thank you,
Councilman, please.
So the bids go to your department. We're not, by the way, let me just clarify something. When I'm speaking to any director and I'm saying go to you, I don't mean that specific person. I mean that department, okay? So these bids, the department head, in this case, the harbor master, sends you the wish list of stuff. This is what he feels that, in this case, he feels is what he's looking for, okay? And that's fine. And I don't necessarily fault anyone for looking to get, you know, the best and the biggest and the greatest of anything they can get. I look at it also from the want to the need. The need being to have what you need in order to do your job as safe, as effectively, and as efficiently, dollar-wise, as possible. So that's how I look at it. Now, that goes to the purchasing department. You send out your bid request. You get the bids back in. The purchasing department opens the bids. You look at all the numbers. I don't think that Jeff Barris, in this case, is going to be sitting at the table adding up those numbers to see if those numbers add up correctly. I'll cut to the chase. The numbers are wrong. Edgewood bid, they're looking to do a bid for $31,559.88. The numbers add up to $32,589.88. Now, I added them up three times. I did an Excel spreadsheet and had Excel add them up. So nobody's checking the numbers. That's the point. But yet, we don't want to provide the city council with the backup information in the bid package because we don't need to do that. It's okay. Don't do that. But yet, here's another example that, hadn't I gone through this math equation, wouldn't have known that the bid was off by $1,030. So if we approved it for $31,559, at some point, somebody's coming back to us and saying, oops, sorry, made a mistake. It didn't add up. We need another $1,030. But yet, let's continue not providing the backup information. This is something that's really off track. So those are my issues with this, Mr. Chairman. I think that this process is not fair to all vendors. And you can say, well, it's up to the business people to do the research. It's up to them to go on the city website and do all this other stuff. People in business, especially small business people, they're everything. They're the bookkeepers. They're the purchasing agents. They're the laborers. They're the presidents. They don't have time to be chasing down all of this stuff. We're supposed to, as a government, we're supposed to try to make it easier for our vendors, especially our local vendors, try to make it easier for them to be able to bid on this stuff, not make it more difficult and tell them it's your responsibility to go out and do all the research and try and find out where all this stuff is. That is ridiculous. So those are my problems with this bid, whether it be requesting this committee or whether I do it on the council floor, Mr. Chairman. I will be making a request that this bid be resent for a new bid with better notification to prospective vendors and that the harbor master takes another look at some of these option items to see if he can get the same or he can get similar product that's going to do what he needs to protect the safety, to do the job, the efficiency. Some people might object to that FLIR camera. I don't object to that. I think that is something that is necessary, particularly in night rescues or night accidents, et cetera. But that's what my request is going to be, Mr. Chairman, either mm-hmm. for this committee or I'll do it on the floor, that this be rebid. I have spoken to the harbor master about it earlier today. He did not seem to have a problem with doing a rebid. I'll let him speak to that himself. There's Thank plenty you. Of time to do it. The boats mm-hmm. don't float until April. And I just think in the interest of fairness to all and tightening up some of these items, I think it would, in the long run, still give all the benefit the harbor master needs and deserves, but yet still gives the financial consideration to the taxpayers. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Chief, I see you there. I'll give you a moment to make a statement, and I was going to ask the harbor master. Go ahead, please.
Sure. Thank you, Chairman. Aaron McAsee, Mayor's Chief of Staff. All of the councilman's other points aside, on the last one, the purchasing director met all of the state and local law requirements with this bid. Tossing it out because somebody who did not see the bid, which was publicly put out there, and has not reached out to the purchasing department to have their email address added to the list of vendors who are reached out to and items in a particular subject matter come up to bid, I would make the administration highly uncomfortable that we'd be doing that just based on one potential vendor reaching out. Would not make the administration comfortable, especially after submissions have come back. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
I'm sorry, one moment, Councilman. I'd like to ask, if you don't mind, the Harbor Master, with everything that's on this and you're careful, do you support the equipment that is being purchased and requested? Does this fulfill the need of the Harbor Master?
Yes, it does. It fulfills the need, and it satisfies our requirements.
Okay, thank you. I saw that you wanted to make a comment, Director. Please identify.
Francis Gomez, purchasing agent.
Thank you.
Since we followed all the state and city laws when it comes to advertising bids and actually did receive two submissions from two vendors, this will open us up for litigation, that's one, and two, bid protests, which the vendors that did submit have in every right to do. These bid submissions are now public. If another vendor comes out because we go into rebid, I would protest as a vendor. That's one. And two, they're already seeing what was bidded, whether it was calculated correctly by the department or not. And that gives them an advantage, which goes against a lot of things when it comes to litigation and so on and so forth. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Oh, I apologize. I'm sorry, Councilman. You had 15 minutes. I see that another member of the council has his hand up. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. A couple of items here. So first, I would say that I'm going to base my vote on this matter, not on that on one of those particular concerns, because my vote on this matter isn't going to be relating to the particular concerns that were brought up, but because I think that it's appropriate for the City Council to reject the current bid due to specification changes. And if the specifications are changed due to the need or the wisdom of going with different specifications, then it would really be a matter of a different set of bids. So it's not necessarily opening up the city to liability in that regard. And I do see the need to change some of the specifications here based on the concerns that Councilman Lattiser raised. But I was going to address a different point that I think gets to the heart of some of this matter here. So there was a comment earlier that I really wasn't comfortable with, a comment that it's the responsibility of the businesses to come forth and apply to bid here. That seems backwards to me. Now, legally, sure, the city has a certain level of responsibility here, and the businesses have a certain level of responsibility, certainly, that if they want to be considered, then as long as the city complies with its minimum legal obligations regarding the posting, city website, so on and so forth, the city has met its obligations, certainly. But the city here is acting effectively as the consumer. If I were to walk out into the city square or the like, or go on Facebook or the like and say, hey, I want to buy something, name any random thing, I want to go buy a new phone, and I put that up on Facebook, business owners have no responsibility to submit bids to me. It's the same thing with the city. And here, the entire reason for this entire process with the finance committee, where we approve, the finance committee approves these different items, considers these different bids, is because We're trying to protect the city, make sure that the city is getting the most bang out of the buck for the sake of the taxpayers. And the way to do that is to try to make this process, which the process, it is a bit Byzantine. There are a lot of state laws and the like that we have to comply with here. I was taking a look at the bid sheet for the another item here. I won't get into the details, but suffice to say, I've looked through a number of these different bid sheets, for instance, having to do with items where ARPA funds would be involved. And it never ceases to surprise me that some of these bid sheets with the various specifications are literally over 100 pages long. No wonder why vendors may need a little bit of help navigating all of this. A lot of business owners out there, they may not be interested in navigating this entire process. They would rather spend their time just stock the shelves, answer calls on the phone. They may not want to take however many hours to really learn this whole process. And there are reasons why, of course, we have this whole process in place, every single one of these different requirements, all the regulation, of course. But having that ability, having people take those extra steps to continue to reach out, help people, business owners, navigate this whole process so that we are getting more people bidding here, because it is not their responsibility to go and seek us out. It's our responsibility to go seek them out so that more business owners are applying and we're effectively getting the lowest possible prices here, ultimately, so that the taxpayers' money goes further. That's all.
Thank you. And we're going to continue with the comments, questions from the rest.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question to ask in rebuttal.
Hold on one moment, please. One moment. And then we'll go to the public. But right now, I'd like to request a PCR on this, if I may have a PCR number. PCR 9-24. Thank you. Are there any other members of the council that would like to speak that haven't spoken yet? Councilman Lattice, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman. Kudos to Councilman Ricks. You really put it in a much clearer perspective than I did. And I just find it outrageous that I'm sitting here with two members of the administration that is saying the onus needs to be put on the businesses. Whatever happened to making it easier to do business in the city of Warwick? I remember hearing that. We're going to make it easier to do business. Instead, we stand right here this evening and saying, oh, your responsibility. These smaller businesses, in case you're not aware of the fact, they are grinding it out every day. As I said earlier, they're doing all the nuts and bolts of running a business. They're trying to stay solvent. They're trying to take home a paycheck. They're trying to avoid bankruptcy. They don't have time to be chasing down, and in many cases, they don't have the technological skills to chase all this down. But we don't care about that, because you're the business. It's your responsibility. That is just so frustrating to me. I can't even begin to tell you as a business person how outrageous that is. And a question to the harbor master.
Councilman,
the chairman asked if this equipment was meeting your needs.
For an extension before. Sir, we have other people that would like to speak. You made your point.
This is one last question for the harbor master.
And I'd like to get to the public for public comment.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any comments or questions from members of the public? Just please identify when you get to the microphone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Rob Cody. Just prior to a couple questions that I have, just for the council's information, I've been a licensed charter captain, delivery captain for 40 years. I have delivered millions and millions of dollars worth of yachts, new and used, and I have safely transported thousands of passengers through all types of conditions. I take exception when the harbor master says that this electronics package is entry level. It is by no means entry level. I'm currently running a $350 million offshore high-speed center console that doesn't have this package. It does have one thing. It does have a 48-mile radar. And I'd like to ask the department head, Parks and Rec department head, and maybe the harbor master, and maybe Mr. Howe, too, because I know you're a math guy. You'll appreciate this. Are you folks familiar with the basic equation, which is called line-of-sight radar? Are you familiar with that equation? Okay.
Harbor master, if you would like to, you were asked the question. I saw you. Go ahead.
Yes, Rob, I am.
Okay. So what that means is there's a basic formula that tells you, no matter what radar you buy, no matter how much it costs, that radar will only see and be able to identify objects based upon the height of the water. And the object is the height of the bottom of the antenna off the water in feet, the square root of that times 1.23. We have skiffs. They got quahog boats. Old quahog boats. I know you shook your head when you said, oh, our equipment's 15 years old. So are the boats. But we've put over $100,000 into these boats where we could have bought brand new ones. But I digress. You're going to buy a 48-mile radar, two of them, on boats that will not see more than 4 miles. Furthermore, when you look at the harbor restrictions of the harbor master, you're restricted into the areas of Warwick. And I know you said that you about 20 hours a week for each boat. Now, I'm on the water daily, 7 days a week, pretty much. And would it be fair to say that the vast amount of your time is spent at the top of Warwick Cove and at the top of Appanong Cove, assisting boaters in and out and keeping the speed controlled? Is that a fair statement?
So, Mr. Cody, you're asking, I'm sorry, who are you addressing that question through the chair?
I asked the harbor master. I think he's on site.
Right. Sir, if you would like to answer that question.
Yes. Yes, that is a fair assessment. But I would like to clear something up, is that we're not buying a 48-mile radar. We're buying the smallest radar that's available with this package, which is an 18-inch dome. It's a 24-mile radar.
Can you speak a little louder, Jeff?
Yeah, Rob, it's actually a 24-mile radar. I don't know where the 48 came from.
It's right in the specifications. Look it up.
Oh, but that's...
So my point being with that radar is... You're only going to see 4 miles. That's it. That's what you're going to get, 4 miles. Now, you can get other radars that are 24-mile radars, which I have one on my boat, and you're still not going to see that 24 miles, but you can get them from Garmin, from Raytheon, and Furuno, 24-mile radars that are compatible with the same types of GPS and depth finders for one-third the price. One third, less than $1,000, you'll get the radar dome, and the display for less than for $999.95. So the point is, it's great to have the best of everything, but I don't think anybody in this room would go out and buy a Ferrari to drive it in the parking lot of the Warwick Public Library and never being able to take it out of there. And that's what this amounts to. The other question is, you know, when you look at your multifunction display, it's a high-resolution fish finder. That's what it's termed, a high-resolution fish finder. We're not going fishing. The equipment that he's picked out is great, fantastic. Not for these boats. These are skiffs, right, that operate in the confines of Warwick Cove and Appanong Cove. They're never going outside of that because we can't. And under the jurisdiction, if you read the Harbor Master's regulations, he is not a search and rescue boat. He is a tow boat. I see no reason for the infrared cameras, the night vision cameras. I mean, come on. 30 years ago, I was going to Block Island and a quarter mile visibility in the fog with parallel rules, a divider and a compass and a paper chart recorder. You're in Warwick Cove. assisting boaters, keeping the jet skis from going crazy. I have no problem putting decent electronics on. But you don't have to have the top of the line state of the art, because the capabilities of the equipment that you're purchasing, you'll never use those capabilities ever. It's just too much for the application. So I take exception when we're going to spend $32,000 on equipment where you have part-time, part of the season, 6 months, maybe 7 months, right? Mm-hmm. And the overwhelming majority of that time, Saturdays and Sundays, probably maybe some Friday nights to get those people coming out of the harbor side, right?
That's right.
So I would say, am I in the ballpark where I would say that 75 to 80% of the time spent with the Harbor Master is during the daylight hours? Is that fair? Am I in the ballpark?
Actually, you are. You are. But our jurisdiction is fairly extensive.
Right. But you, in no way, in nowhere is your jurisdiction more than 4 miles off the coastline of the city of Warwick. Nowhere.
No, not a normal patrol.
Right. Okay. Nowhere does the Harbor Master have any jurisdiction further than 4 miles. It's actually less than that. It's about 3 miles. All right. So 20% of the Harbor Master boat's time on the water, 20% of the 50% of the year that the Harbor Master is out there, 20% is at night. 20%. We're going to spend tens of thousands of dollars on this high-tech equipment. It just defies all principles, right? You know, you need to spend your money wisely, right? Spend it wisely. If you have X amount of dollars to spend, sure, get the electronics you need. Not the electronics that you wish you had, because you're never going to use those capabilities, right? You don't have the height. And most likely, the boats as they are now probably don't have the power to control. How many batteries are on those boats? Two?
Two.
So you're going to repower that as well, because those units will not run off those two batteries. I can assure you that, because I've ran those units on many yachts. You're not going to. So that's another thing that will come down the line on a 56.6 that, hey, you know, we didn't realize we'd have to upgrade it. You get boats that are 2008 and 2010. And you guys are shaking your head because you said, oh, those electronics are 15 years old. Oh, my God. You're putting new engines and state-of-the-art electronics on sea scows. The Quahog skiffs, right? The glorified Quahog skiffs. So, you know, Mr. Lattison makes great points. Jeremy makes great points. But the point is, as a professional mariner with tens of thousands of hours in all kinds of conditions in New England, it's outrageous that you're going to spend that kind of money for those electronics on boats that will never use the capabilities that those electronics were made for. And furthermore, for a third the price, you can buy equally effective equipment. Same thing, high definition, 4KW, 5KW, integrated MFDs, for a third the price. For the confines that you're using, you got to remember, guys, these boats, these are not ocean-going boats, right? They are fair-weather boats. And the term Harbor Master, that department is there to patrol and protect the harbor. Now, if the fire department needs to have the night vision on their boats, no problem with that, because they are a search and rescue company. He is not. And by the way, if he does get involved in search and rescue at night, and something goes wrong, God forbid, we may be on the hook, right? It's outside of the jurisdiction of his boundaries. I read the entire city charter tonight relative to the Harbor Master and his responsibilities and his boundaries. So give him good equipment, needs to have it. Bear in mind, look at the big picture, what his ultimate responsibility, what his time usage on the water is, and the effectiveness of the equipment, so we have equipment that's effective. And by the way, no disrespect, that's a lot of equipment. And by the way, those boats are not parked in the nicest of neighborhoods, if you follow me, right? I mean, if you take a look and contact the police department and look at the theft in the marinas, high theft area, big money equipment with LED lights saying, come and steal my stuff. So the council really needs to look at this objectively and think about efficiency and the capabilities and usage of the equipment so we're not overbuying something. And if we have this money, use it efficiently. And if there's leftover money, put it to some other use that's beneficial for everybody. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further comments, questions from members of the public? Since this is now a PCR, I'm going to ask for a recommendation from this committee.
Point of order.
Yes. Councilman Gebhardt.
Since we identify that the math doesn't math, do we want to amend this?
Certainly.
Okay. So it's off by $1,030. I just forget which number.
$37,000.
Yeah, that number.
I think we have to increase it.
That's right.
It's, hold on, let me look at the bid.
$32,589.88.
Yeah, what was the bid amount? Was that
bid amount was $31,559.88.
So increase by $1,030.
So you have a motion to amend PCR 9-24 to an amount increased of $1,030 to $32,589.88. The motion is on the table. We have a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question for legal counsel, if I may.
Absolutely.
Thank you. So, Mr. Solicitor, is it appropriate for conversations to be taking place amongst individuals at the podium off the record? Meaning, if I'm at the podium answering questions, is it appropriate for someone to be whispering in my ear whatever is being whispered? Or is that comment from the person to be put on the record? Because that's what's occurring. So let me give you a different example. So I'm in communications with the council about a specific issue, and Councilwoman Travis is reaching over to me, whispering things to me that pertain to this conversation. Is that appropriate, or should Ms. Travis's comments be put on the record?
Thank you for the question, Councilman. I would suggest that the hypotheticals pertaining to elected official conversations about business that is currently before the body is a distinct, well, one, it isn't what is being presented. So that hypothetical has a different set of baseline under commentary about items going on here. And that's only if a quorum of things were going to be done. So I would suggest that the rules don't dictate things beyond maintaining order and decorum. The fact that the administration may be communicating to confer with each other is, I would suggest, something that's outside the scope of the rules and is an allowable entity, and not, it may not necessarily be required to be presented on the record. It's unclear. We don't know
exactly
what's going on.
We don't know. So we're having a conversation about a specific item, and now someone is having communication on a sidebar. We don't know what that communication is. We're not being privy to what the comments are, or ask this question, or know this is that, and neither is the public who are watching this on YouTube. So is that type of activity appropriate? I'm not asking you if is this within our scope as a governing body of the City Council in any realm, in any scope. Is that appropriate?
I would suggest that I'm not aware of them violating any provisions of order before us.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. We had a motion for favorable action on an amended PCR. Now I'd like to ask for a motion as amended.
Move favorable action.
Second. All in favor?
No.
Aye. And I won. Correction. Two yes, one no.
Thank you. That would be Councilman Gebhardt.
All set, sir, clerk?
Thank you. May I have a motion on the full consent calendar vote?
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all very much. May I have a motion for the minutes for the meeting held, acceptance of the minutes for the meeting held on January 3rd?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. The time is 6:21. The Finance Committee has concluded business. Thank you all.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next committee to meet is the Public Properties Committee, and that will start at 6:40. So we will see you back here at 6:40.
On Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs comes to order. First, we have acceptance of minutes from the committee meeting held on January 3rd, 2024. Do we have a motion?
Move. Acceptance.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We have one item on the agenda, PCR 131-23. This is Councilman Sinapi. It is entitled A Resolution Dedicating Barton Farm as a Municipal Public Trust pursuant to Rhode Island General Laws 45-36.1-1 et sec, and as having conservation restrictions pursuant to Rhode Island General Laws Section 34-39-1 et sec. It is Assessor's Plat 251, Lot 179, at 1351 Centerville Road. Councilman Sinapi, a recommendation? Recommend hold to March 4th. Do we have a motion?
Move to hold till March 4th.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Second. Aye. You need a second first.
Oh, Councilman Foley seconded. Excuse me. Councilman Foley made the motion. Councilman Gebhardt seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The committee adjourns at 6:42 p.m.